القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد،
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق. فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: المصلي يناجي ربه. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been discussing the asrar and some of the asrar and secrets of the prayers, and as you know that we have the ahkam of the ibadat and worships, and we have the adab and etiquettes of the worships, and we have some hikam, the wisdoms of the worship, and we have the asrar, the secrets of the worships. And every worship is like that. Since we were discussing about prayers, and we already discussed some of the wisdoms and secrets, and also some of the adab regarding the takbirat, and regarding the wudu, and regarding the qiyam and sujood and ruku. And our discussion in the previous lectures were about some of the asrar and secrets of kunut in the prayers. And then we will continue with the asrar of tashahhud and salam, inshaAllah. And I already told you about the kunut, that its literal meaning and its istilahi technical application in the prayers. And we already discussed that kunut stands for, the word kunut itself means tabattul and khudu and takhashu', that means having the modesty in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And kunut in the prayers is the madhar of khudu and modesty. And since the prayers is supposed to make a person khadi' and modest and down to earth and zaleel and insulted in front of the Lord, so the madhar of this khudu is the kunut. So any prayers which does not have a kunut is not considered by our urafa and awliya to be a kamil and perfect prayers. If we if we want our prayers to be kamil and perfect, we must have the kunut along with it. I already told you the hadith where the Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said that man taraka al-qunuta muta'ammidan fala salata lahu, someone who leaves the qunut intentionally, his prayers is not the prayers, is not a prayers. So it doesn't mean the prayers become batil in terms of the fiqhi and jurisprudential point of view, but it's not batil, of course, but the kamal of the salat, the perfection of our prayers is missing. So if we want our prayers to be perfect, we have to have that action which is madhar of the khudu, which is a reflection of the modesty towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, I already informed you, which I'm just summarizing that discussion, that the statement of my own teacher, where he said, discussing the Nizam al-Takwin and Nizam al-Tashri'. Nizam al-Takwin is the outer world of existences around us, all different forms of existences and mawjoodat that Allah created. They are all part of Alam al-Takwin, and Alam al-Tashri' means the world of legislations. That means the world of do's and do nots of the Sharia, which we, the human beings and jinns, are part of the Alam al-Tashri', and not the rest of the creatures in of Alam al-Takwin share the world of Tashri' with us. So we are the only ones who are partners. That means the humans and the jinns are the only two creatures of God who are sharing the Alam al-Tashri', because we are the ones who are put to test by Allah. So my teacher was saying that the sir and secret that we need to understand is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants tatabuqun nizam al-takwini bin nizam al-tashri'i. Allah wants the world of legislations, that means alam al-sharia, in which we are living, where we are supposed to abide by the do's and do nots so that we can become spiritually perfect. The reason behind the prayers, why do we pray? One of the reasons behind that is that Allah wants to make us, our behaviors harmonious with the behavior of all the creatures around us in the Alam al-Takwin, who are already perfectly obedient to Allah and they never disobey. Because I told you Alam al-Takwin has zero rebellion and tughyan and tamarrud and aggression against Allah. They are perfectly obedient to God and they never disobey. So, Qunut is the madhar which provides us to become mutabiq, become harmonious with the Alam al-Takwin. If we follow the sir and secret of Qunut, it will help us to reach a level where we, despite the fact that we belong to Alam al-Tashri', our behaviors will be in sync with the behavior of Alam al-Tashri', Alam al-Takwin, and existences around us. And the Holy Prophet always, it's narrated that the Prophet always used to have Qunut in every prayers. Every prayers that he prayed, he had Qunut in it. So, إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يقنط في كل صلاة والصلاة بلا قنوت غير كاملة. Prophet used to have قنوت in every prayers, and any prayers that does not have the قنوت is incomplete, is not perfect. Now, coming to the point of تشهد, تشهد means bearing the witness. We bear witness in the presence of Allah during the prayers. In some of the prayers, we have two tashahuds. In some others, we have, like the Fajr prayers, we have only one tashahud. And in the Mustahab prayers, likewise, which we always pray two rakats, always have one tashahud in it. But tashahud means actually bearing the witness, giving the shahadat, guwahi, and witness in front of Allah. We learned in the beginning of this series of lectures that the tashri' of salat, the legislation of prayers, happened at the occasion of Mi'raj, when Prophet was close to the arsh of Allah. So the tashahud was also legislated at the same place. The riwayat says that innahu lamma arada rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi liyaquma, when Prophet, Prophet, in other words, was when he was praying and he was about to stand up from the second rak'at. Remember, I told you already that the first prayers that the Prophet prayed close to the arsh of Allah was the Salatul Zuhr, the prayers of the Zuhr. That was the first prayers prayed by Rasulullah, close to the arsh of Allah. So when Prophet was about to stand up, it was said to the Holy Prophet, Ya Muhammad, ijlis. O Muhammad, sit down. فَجَلَسَ فَأَوْحَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. So Prophet sat down and Allah sent his wahi, Ya Muhammad, إِذَا أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكَ فَسَمِّ بِسْمِي. So when I give ni'mat on you, to you, then you have to name me. فألهم أن قال بسم الله وبالله ولا إله إلا الله والأسماء الحسنى كلها لله ثم أوحى إليه. So Prophet, it was the ilham and the message was sent on the Holy Prophet to say, you know, the message was sent and Prophet said, Bismillahi wa billahi wa la ilaha illallah wal asma'ul husna kulluha lillah thumma awha ilayhi ya Muhammad salli ala nafsika wa ala ahli baytika. And finally Allah sent the wahi to Prophet to send salawat on your own self and on to your Ahlul Bayt. This is a matter of a consensus and ittifaq among all the sects of Islam who pray the prayers. Everybody agrees that if we do not send salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, the prayers is batil. That's not acceptable. All the sects of Islam agree on that. And there is a matter of consensus, you know. And everybody does send salawat. Everyone who prays, they send salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt. So the ta'wil of tashahud, the batini, the hidden meaning of tashahud is narrated by our scholars that, of course, actually it's learned from the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, from the riwayat of Jabir, actually. Jabir al-Ju'fi, who was one of the companions of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam. So Jabir, from the riwayat of Jabir, actually, it has been learned, it's not the hadith, but it's the riwayat of Jabir, that tajdeedul iman wa mu'awadatul islam wal iqralu bil ba'se ba'dal maut. That when we do the tashahud, we are renewing our iman in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are announcing your shahadat and witness in His presence. You are renewing your oath of allegiance to Allah and His tawheed and iman in Him. And mu'awadatul Islam and turning back towards Islam and iqrar and confession about the fact that we will be resurrected after the death. And when we sit down in the tashahud, it is recommended also, it is mustahab. It is not wajib, but it is mustahab that we put our right foot over the left foot. Tawarruk, in Arabic we call it tawarruk. Then when we sit down, you put your right foot on your left foot. It's not wajib, but it's mustahab. The ta'wil, when in the sitting position we have to do like this, the ta'wil of that has been narrated in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, according to this narration, which is in Man La Yahdharuhu Al-Faqih, one of our four mother books of hadith. The ta'wil and batini meaning of the sitting during the tashahud position, the way we sit, the ta'wil is that Allahumma amitil haq, amitil batila wa aqimil haq. O my Lord, kill the batil, destroy the batil, and install the haq. Where does the batil come from the sitting position? Where does the haq come from the sitting position? What the sitting position has to do with haq and batil? Yes, that's where our urafa say that when the Sharia is asking us to put the right foot on the left, the right foot in Islam is considered to be the madhar of haq and sidq, truthfulness and righteousness. And the yusra, the left foot, is a kinaya and metaphor which is used for batil and kizb, for falsehood and lie. So when you put the right foot over the left, it stands for the fact that you are actually, when you obey it for the sake of Allah's command and perform this mustahab, you are trying to say with your actions that, O my Lord, kill the batil and install the haq. Because the right foot stands for haq and you are putting it over the left foot, which is the madhar of batil and kizb, according to our urafa. And although our scholars say that, these are just metaphors which are used, It's not the real, real batil. A mu'min's, nothing of mu'min is batil. You know, kilta rijlayhi yumna. That's how our Urafa say. A mu'min's, both of his feet are right foot. And a kafir's, both of his feet are left foot. Kilta rijlay al-kafir yusra. Both of the feet of a kafir are considered in the metaphor and kinaya to be a left foot, and both of the feet of a mu'min in the knowledge of irfan are considered to be the right foot, because everything of a mu'min belongs to haqq and sidq, and nothing of his personality stands for batil or kizb. Whereas the kafir person, you know, does not share that value of standing for haqq. So both of his, just like we are talking about feet, because we are talking about the shahud, otherwise it's no different about the hands either. The Urafa say the same thing about the hands. The right hand of a mu'min stands for haqq and sidq, and the left hand of a mu'min is a kinaya and metaphor used to depict the batil and kizb, despite the fact that both of his hands are actually right, and both of the hands of a kafir are actually in the category of a left hand. So we use the right hand for doing the nice things and respectable things, like holding the Quran, for instance, or eating the food or any other nice thing. And we use the left hand in our washroom, lifting our, like, our shoes or whatever. So there is a difference that a person makes between the usage of these hands and the, you know, which is also in sync with the this phenomena. So despite the fact, this behavior is actually under the light of what metaphor we use for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when we say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his yad, you know, yadullah, we say Allah's yad, we don't mean Allah has a physical hand. Yad of Allah stands for his qudrat, is a kinaya and metaphor for the qudrat and power, absolute power of Allah. When we say aynullah, Allah doesn't have an eye. The ayn of Allah is a kinaya that we use for the ishraf and supervision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, so basically, it's just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both of his hands, although he has no hands, but using it in the sense of majaz and kinaya, both of his hands, as using it as a metaphor, are both of his hands are the right ones, you know. So it has been actually narrated in the riwayat that about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that kilta yadayhi yameen, that both of his hands are right. Although Allah has no hand, but this is again just the kinaya for Allah, because everything of Allah stands for nothing but haqq and khair and sidq. He is not doing anything which is batil and does not support anything which is batil or shar or evil. Evil is a relative quantity which arises from the bad behaviors of the people. Likewise, when we send the salawat in the tashahud position, it's compulsory, it's wajib, precisely, and the prayers is batil without the salawat. If somebody intentionally ignores, his prayers is batil. And it's not just our fatwa, that's the fatwa of all the sects. I already told you the famous shi'r in one of my speeches from Imam al-Shafi'i, where he has said in his diwan, you know, kafakum min azim al-qadr annakum man lam yusalli alaykum la salata lahu. Imam Shafi'i has said that this much fadl is enough for you, Ahlul Bayt, that whosoever doesn't send salawat on you, his salat, his prayers is not considered to be prayers. So this is not the share of a Shia scholar. This is Imam Shafi'i alayhi salam, who is saying that. So basically, salawat is wajib. And this is also part of the command of Allah on the Holy Prophet. At that occasion when he was praying his first prayers close to the arsh, and he was commanded by Allah to send salawat on his own self and his Ahlul Bayt. So Prophet never does anything without Allah's command anyway. So And it has been also, mentioned by our fuqaha that anybody who does not send salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, and this is also learned from the riwayat of Jabir al-Ju'fi, anybody who does not send the salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, his salat is batil, is rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he may be a lover of Ahlul Bayt. وَإِنْ كَانَ وَلِيًّا. Even though you love Ahlul Bayt, but if you do not send salawat, there is no leniency about this matter. Even if a lover of Ahlul Bayt does not send salawat, his praise is also batil. What to talk of a person who has bughz and hatred towards Ahlul Bayt, he's obviously out of question. And Jabir al-Ju'fi says, سَمِعْتُ أَبَا عَبْدَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ يَقُولُ. Jabir says, I heard Imam Sadiq alayhi salam saying, he says that I heard Imam Baqir alayhi salam saying, and this hadith is also narrated in Jami'u Ahadith al-Shia, that إِذَا صَلَّ أَحَدُكُمْ فَنَّسِيَ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ مُحَمَّدًا وَآلَهُ. When one of you prays and he forgets to say salawat on the Prophet and his family, سَلَكَ بِصَلَاتِهِ غَيْرَ سَبِيرِ الْجَنَّةِ, he is treading the path that does not lead to the paradise. وَلَا تُقْبَلْ صَلَاتٌ إِلَّا أَن يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا مُحَمَّدٌ وَآلُ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. And no prayers are accepted unless the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt are mentioned in it. So this is again a very clear evidence for us, the believers, to remember that Prophet, if their zikr was not considered to be exactly equal to the zikr and mention of Allah, why would Allah allow in his salat the mention of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, where salat stands for only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and there is no shirk, there is no room for associating partner, and we are not supposed to even focus on anything other than Allah during the prayers. But still Allah is obliging everybody to send salawat on Prophet Ahlul Bayt, which is a clear evidence that their zikr is equal in its value to the zikr of Allah, and because they are the most perfect madhar and reflection of every single ism and name and every single sifat and attribute of Allah without exception. And Prophet also, and there's a statement which Imam Khomeini Ridwanullah Alayh has mentioned in his book Misbahul Hidayah, where he says that actually if somebody claims that all the prophets of God came to invite the humanity, invite the community towards the Holy Prophet, if somebody claims that all the rest of the prophets actually came to invite the community towards the Holy Prophet, the final messenger, Khatamun Nabiyyin, he said the truth. And let Khatamun Nabiyyin invite everybody towards Allah. Although all the prophets are also inviting them towards Allah, and none but Allah. But no one is as big a madhar of all the sifat and all the names of Allah as the Holy Prophet, Khatamun Nabiyyin, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the biggest madhar of Allah. There is no prophet can get close to his level. So we find that Prophet has said in his hadith, Man salla salatan lam yusalli fiha ala alayya wa ala ahli bayti lam tuqbal minhu. Whoever prays and doesn't send salawat on me and my ahlul bayt, it's not accepted from him. And so in the riwayat of Zurara ibn A'yan from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, where he said, Man min tamam al-sawm i'ta'u al-zakat. The completion of your fasting is to pay the zakat. If you want your fasting to become complete, of course we have to pay the zakatul fitra that we all pay. We take it out in the night of the ghurub al-shams, Laylatul Hilal, the night where we see the moon for tomorrow is the day of Eid. So Shabe Eid. So on that night, so we pay the Zakat al-Fitrah, and that is the that's the way we complete and perfect our fasting. And then Imam Sadiq al-Salam said, "Kas-salati al-Nabi min tamam al-salat." Just like the prayers, the salat, the salawat on the Prophet is the among the factors that makes the salat and prayers complete. So just like, you know, the Zakatul Fitrah, taking out the Zakatul Fitrah makes your fasting complete. Your fasting will remain incomplete without it. Likewise, the salawat on the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt makes your prayers complete. Otherwise, your prayers will remain incomplete. In other words. And also in another hadith, he has mentioned that لا تصلوا علي صلاة بطراء. Don't send incomplete salawat on me. صلاة بطراء means, بطراء is the feminine of أبتر. أبتر in لغتن, literally speaking, it means دمبريدة. دمبريدة. مقطوع الآخر. In Arabic we say مقطوع الآخر. Somebody, if you like, you cut off the tail of an animal. Is the end of the animal is broken, so it's not full, it's not complete. So anything, which doesn't reach its desired goal is called abtar. Anything which could not reach its desired goal is called abtar. So Prophet said that لا تصلوا علي صلاة بطراء. Don't send incomplete salat or salawat on me. So if you mention the Holy Prophet only, you know, some people say, you know, Hazrat Muhammad alayhi salam. I always say to those people, don't say like this. This kind of salawat is condemned by Rasulullah and not accepted by God, because Prophet is the messenger and he's informing us, la tusallu, don't send this salawat. And the messenger of Allah is asking us, don't send. You think this is going to make you close to Allah? So if we want our prayers to be complete, it has to be with the Ahlul Bayt, who are the Madhar of Allah, equally in the sense of all the names and all the sifat and attributes without exception, like the Holy Prophet, except that the Holy Prophet is the messenger also. But in terms of being the Madhar, there is no difference in this regard. And and likewise, prayers, and I would end my speech here because the time is almost at the end. So just like Islam was incomplete without the walayat announcement of Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and the same walayat stands for the rest of the 11 imams, just like the Islam was incomplete without the walayat, and even the risalat of Rasulullah was under the scrutiny and unaccepted by God, unless and until he announces the walayat of Amir al-Mumineen as he was commanded. So risalat is unacceptable without the walayat. Likewise, what to talk of our prayers, you know, when the entire risalat of Rasulullah depends on the walayat. Isn't that right? Who are we? The Khatamun Nabiyeen's Risalat, which is the biggest Risalat ever assigned, biggest task ever assigned by Allah on any human's neck. The Risalat of Prophet Ibrahim cannot be compared with him, because Prophet Ibrahim's Risalat did not include the entire humanity. Apart from being how many names of Allah was he representing on earth, that's of course a very elaborate discussion. And Risalat of Prophet Isa has no comparison, because not everybody falls under the Risalat of Hazrat Isa. Likewise, Hazrat Nuh and Hazrat Musa. And some of the Prophets of God were sent for their own family. Their own family members were only part of their nation. Their nation was only restricted to their own family members. The Holy Prophet's Risalat is the greatest Risalat Allah ever assigned on any human, and nothing can be greater than that, because it includes every single existence other than Allah, including the 12 Imams. Can you imagine? Even the same 12 Imams, they are also under the Risalat al-Ula, and each one of those Imams is superior than all the rest of the Prophets. Can you imagine the greatness of Risalat of Rasulullah? How, you know, Adam wa man dunahu tahta liwa'i. Then Prophet says that Adam and everyone after him are under my banner. This hadith itself requires so much elaborate discussion to comprehend its depths. So when the Risalat of Rasulullah is not accepted without the walayat of Ahlul Bayt, walayat of Amirul Mumineen, who are we? And what is the value of our, you know, I'm talking about myself, what's the value of our naqis and disabled prayers, you know, the kind of prayers that, you know, we have in our life? What is the value of our prayers and fasting and our ibadat, and what's the value of us, you know, without the walayat and without connecting with the walayat and sending salawat on the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, we'll discuss certain things in the next day, inshallah. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammadin wa alihi at-tahirin. If you have some questions, we have maybe 1 or 2 minutes for that. If you have any question about the speech, you're